Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bring you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you listen to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. And we're going to be talking about the Constitution, that dry subject, and yet it's not a dry subject. It is the very essence of everything that is going on today, and the fact that the subversive element in Washington, D.C. is totally ignoring the Constitution that they have sworn to uphold. And that includes the president, the leaders of both political parties, know very well that most of the bills and legislation that is being enacted violates the very oath that they've sworn. But you see, because the average individual in America is never taught the Constitution in our schools because they've been taken over, and they're never certainly taught this in college. Certainly, most lawyers have never read the Constitution. They've read what people have said about the Constitution, but not the Constitution. And as a result, we have all sorts of legislation that has been enacted, which is unconstitutional, and is moving us towards the all-powerful state, which was the one thing our founding fathers feared. And so, without further ado, Pastor David Whitney, you go right ahead.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Stan. It's a pleasure to be with you and with your great audience. As we talk about the Constitution, we've walked through all of the articles up to the sixth article, and the sixth article has supreme law of the land as the focus of what it mostly talks about. There's a few other details about debts and agreements entered into before the Constitution. We're going to be honored and recognized because they knew that God's law says when you make a vow, pay what you vowed, fulfill what you've promised, even if it hurts, even if it's painful, as it was in the case of the debts entered into before the Constitution was ratified, mostly debts that related to the War for Independence. And paying those was not an easy thing, a very painful thing in a number of ways. But following that, in Article 6, it deals with the Supremacy Clause of our Constitution. Very important to understand that the Supremacy Clause says the Constitution itself is the supreme law of the land. Now, I have to pause right there because immediately that means any other law made in our country that in any way, shape, or form violates the Constitution is not law. In fact, we should even stop talking about it as law. We should just call it what it is, unlaw. It's the opposite of law. It can't be law. Because otherwise, if you had a law, quote-unquote, that was passed that violated the Constitution, you'd be saying this new law is supreme over the Constitution, that it is more important than the Constitution, that it is the supreme law of the land. And as you're mentioning, Dr. Stan, there's multitude of pieces of legislation, perhaps most of, I think it was Heritage Foundation did a study of the legislation coming out of Washington, D.C. a few years back, and they estimated that 90%+ of everything done by Washington, D.C. is unconstitutional. It's unlaw. Astonishing that we have such a criminal cabal essentially running the country.
But of course, David, the average individual doesn't know, and I'm sure even some of our legislators don't know. They've never read the Constitution they've sworn to uphold. And that is why what you and Michael Perutka and the people of the Institute are doing is so important, because you're trying to teach people what the Constitution says and what our founding fathers meant in the words that they recorded there. Go right ahead.
And the other aspect of this is that it indicates the Constitution is a fixed standard. It's not a moving target. If you've ever gone to, I don't know, if you go down to the boardwalk and play one of those games where you shoot at these ducks that are moving, it's a little hard to shoot at a moving target because it's always in a different place. You aim and it's moved by the time you pull the trigger. Not so with our Constitution. It is a fixed standard. There is a way to amend it. We've already looked at that when we examined Article 5, the amendment process. But unless it's amended,
hold the thought.
Standard.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued.
global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Disaster can strike at any time. That's why Americans spend billions on insurance policies. But what about investing into disaster preparedness supplies, especially food? After Hurricane Sandy, people waited weeks for help to arrive. Be prepared for anything with Mountain House freeze-dried foods, the finest in the industry, packed in heavy-duty double enamel number 10 cans with over 99% of the oxygen removed for the longest shelf life of any product available. And the taste, absolutely delicious. Entrees, meats, vegetables, fruits, and desserts made in the USA. Just add hot water, wait 10 minutes, and serve. Save 25% on Mountain House No. 10 cans, April 2nd through the 8th, with free shipping to the lower 48 states. Visit freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. 866-404-3663. Get 25% off April 2nd through the 8th. Act today. Don't miss out.
The authority of the United States.
Hold that thought and we'll be back. Okay, well, our guest is, of course, Pastor David Whitney. We're talking about the Constitution and the fact that basically it is the foundation of all of our laws, and anything that violates the Constitution is an unlaw. Okay, go right ahead, David.
And so the treaties, the phrase with the treaties made under the authority of the United States rather than federal laws made under the authority of the Constitution, we ask why. And, of course, the false interpretation that is often fomented these days in both the legislative branches and the judicial branches, as well as the executive branch, the false interpretation is that it makes treaties superior to the Constitution. Well, wait a minute. If treaties were superior to the Constitution, then the Constitution could be amended simply by going and making a treaty. You know, Barack could toddle off down to, just pick a country, Chile or something, and sign a treaty with the head of Chile, saying we're going to, both countries have agreed together in this treaty to completely disarm our citizens. We're going to take away all their guns. And sign the treaty, and that's it. Then the Constitution is amended, the Second Amendment is dead. No, you can't do that. There is a process for amending the Constitution, an Article 5 amendment of the Constitution, but there is no other way to amend the Constitution. Treaties are not a means for amending the Constitution. Therefore, only treaties that are made under the authority of the United States, that is, in congruence with the Constitution, that are constitutional treaties, only those treaties apply. Now, why do they use this different language? Well, we need to remember, it's easy to kind of forget the distance in time between the Declaration of Independence and the ratification of our Constitution. And in between those two goalposts was the time when the Articles of Confederation were the governing document of the relationship between the 13 states that were in the Union at that point in time. So they formed several treaties. Some very important treaties were formed during that period of time in the Articles of Confederation. One, for example, was the Treaty of Paris. That was the treaty that ended the war with Great Britain and determined the western boundaries of our country, or initially all the way out to the Mississippi River and so on. And our founders wisely wanted this Constitution to recognize those treaties and to honor those treaties. Otherwise, if they said all past treaties are now off, we're not going to honor any of those treaties with this new government, well, they would have been immediately back at war with Great Britain, fighting over the territory that had been settled by the Treaty of Paris. So it's important to remember the only reason for the different phrasing, federal laws made under the authority thereof, referring to the Constitution, versus treaties made under the authority of the United States, the only reason for that difference was the Constitution had been ratified after about 11 years from the point in time that the Articles of Confederation began to be ratified. So during that time, they wanted to honor any treaties that were made during the time of the Articles of Confederation. Now, we need to remember then that any treaty that is being considered has to be one that not only is signed by the president, but the Senate has to approve the treaty as well. And again, this was designed, of course, to help the process required mean that constitutional considerations would be carefully made by both the executive and the legislative branch to determine if the treaty being entered into was truly in accord with the Constitution. I can think of one treaty immediately that was not, and that was the UN treaty. When we entered the United Nations, we violated our Constitution. And the signing of that treaty and the Senate voting on that treaty, they were acts where they should have been impeachable acts in terms of violating the premise of our Constitution, which would say that we are a sovereign people in these United States. Well, signing a United Nations treaty puts us under the thumb of an internationalist, globalist elite who basically want to do what they please with us. So it was a violation and should never have been ratified, and I don't believe is legal because it's unconstitutional. Treaties that are unconstitutional cannot be law any more than laws that are unconstitutional are laws, which means state legislatures shouldn't obey any edict of the UN. They shouldn't follow any direction of the UN whatsoever. So UN Agenda 21, we don't have to listen to that. They have no power over us. They have no ability to force us to do anything at all. We don't have to obey any directives of the United Nations because our agreement with the United Nations, the treaty, is not law. It is unlaw. It's not a treaty at all. Now, it's interesting to see what courts have said regarding the treaties potentially being superior to the Constitution. Well, the court has said in 1957, Supreme Court, Reed v. Covert, that the Constitution cannot be amended in this way by simply adopting a treaty. And so the Supreme Court, 1957, they got it right. They understood. The treaty process is not an amendment to the Constitution at all. So the authority of the United States means the treaty is in full agreement with the Constitution and is not violating our basic principles of law and government in these United States. And so what the structure sets up is that the Constitution of the United States, the federal laws made in pursuance thereof, and treaties that are truly constitutional, these do take precedence over state constitutions as well as state laws. And so if there's a state constitution that has something in conflict with the U.S. Constitution, the U.S. Constitution trumps the state constitution. And likewise, state laws that are passed that in any way violate the U.S. Constitution are not law. They can call them law, but they simply are not law. Our own benighted state legislature passed one of the more draconian gun control laws in the United States. A terrible, terrible piece of legislation. And it is not law, in spite of the fact that they call it law. It's not law because it violates the Second Amendment to the United States Constitution. Can't be law. They may try to punish people with this unlaw, but what should rightly happen is the lesser magistrates stand up to the state and say, not in my district, and that particularly would be the sheriff. And we're encouraged to hear that at this point, Maryland has 23 counties. 17 of those 23 counties, those 17 sheriffs have said, no, that will not be enforced in my county. That unconstitutional law will not be put upon the people of my county. And I applaud those 17 sheriffs, and I'm praying that they have the backbone to stand up and resist when push comes to shove, as I believe it will at some point when they begin to try to enforce this unlaw. And were it the case that the other six sheriffs in the other six counties were also to stand up, that law would be unenforceable. They could call it law in the state capitol all they want, and the governor could rattle his saber and threaten with his state police. State police is just another word to talk about police state. And state police trying to force a police state upon the people of Maryland could not do it if the sheriff stood in their way and the sheriff said, no, that's not law. It can't be law. It won't be treated like law, at least within the boundaries of my jurisdiction. Can't say what the next sheriff's going to do, but talk about my own county, and the sheriff can stop unconstitutional law from being enforced within the boundaries of his own jurisdiction. So the other aspect of this is that it clearly in Article 6 here, it says that state judges and all state officials, because they have to take an oath to the Constitution, they are bound by the United States Constitution. They cannot act in any way violative of the United States Constitution. And that's an important protection for we the people, that we have state officials and county officials, and even down to local town officials like your mayor. They swear an oath to the U.S. Constitution, which protects us from actions on the part of a federal tyrant who would seek to do unconstitutional things to us. Well, we have two levels, or actually three levels of check, the state level, county level, and then down to the local level that could stop those unconstitutional actions. Which leads us to the last part of Article 6, which is the oath of office. Everyone in every level of federal, state, and local government is required to take an oath of office to support this Constitution. And it's important to remember here what an oath is. An oath is really a solemn vow that is made before Almighty God. That solemn vow is basically asking God to be a witness of the promise being made. So the vow taker, the oath taker in essence, is asking God to verify that what he's saying is true, that he's being truthful. But it also means that he's asking God's judgment upon himself if he does not obey the vow that he's taken or the oath that he's taken. Let me read to you from Ecclesiastes 5, verses 4 and following in the Old Testament. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God, and by that word messenger is also angel, or you could say the messenger of the angel of God, that it was an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hand? So the person taking an oath is basically imprecating themselves. They're calling down God's curses upon their head, calling for his destruction of their life and their work if they violate this vow. Well, that's pretty serious business. In fact, that phrase there about an angel of God means God sends an angel after the oath taker to see that he follows and fulfills the oath he has made to Almighty God.
Well, it's vitally important that people understand that basically our Constitution is a religious document. The people who drew this up, most of them were deeply religious people, but there was a small group of people who were not, and they were there as well because they had a different vision for America, not to be a great Christian nation, but to use ultimately the financial and military power of the United States to bring about a world government. They certainly demonstrated that beautifully on the Great Seal of the United States on the back, the triangles capped by the all-seeing eye on the front, a phoenix bird. Not an eagle, but a phoenix bird. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, truly do what you said. Being free of disease is real well. Home for Health.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging. Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now. 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and David's simply talking about the idea that people take an oath, and an oath is taken to God. That's the way it has always been. And they can say, oh, well, that's just an oath. That's an oath to promise to the people. No, every oath that from the time America was founded up until this very present day, that oath is an oath before God, and basically and the oath before God that you will do as you promised to do, and that is to adhere to the Constitution. Unfortunately, people don't understand that you cannot have a free society if you do not have moral people. People say, oh, we've got to take away the right of the people to keep and bear arms because of all the violence. Why do we have so much violence in America today? Very simply, because we've taken teaching about God and prayer and the Ten Commandments and thou shalt not kill and morality and Easter and Christmas, taken them all out of our schools. And then we wonder why 50 years later we have a godless and certainly a violent, increasingly violent society. Go right ahead, David.
Yes, and that brings up why the oath was so important, that even though it says, the next phrase in our Article 6 is that no religious test for federal office would be ever conducted, but actually there was no such prohibition for state office. This evening I was just teaching our class on the Maryland State Constitution, and we looked at the oath of office and the requirements. And the early part of our state, 1776, it was very clear you had to be a Christian, you had to believe in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and Holy Spirit, and you had to believe in eternal rewards and punishments. That is, you had to believe in heaven and hell. So if you didn't have a basic Orthodox view of Christianity, you couldn't hold off the fact you couldn't even vote. The citizenship standard was that high that if you weren't a Christian who had the essential Orthodox beliefs, sorry, we didn't want you to vote. You could live here, but you weren't going to have the power to choose who would be in office. Because if you allow wicked people to vote, you allow atheists to vote, what are they going to vote for? Atheism, more wickedness. So they understood that although at the federal level they didn't want a religious test, it was fine at the state level. In fact, most states had it, especially the first 13, had a very specific religious test that required office holders to show that they were Orthodox Christians. You read the 1776 Constitution of the State of Delaware, and you look at those requirements, it's one of the most clear Orthodox Christian statements. In fact, it'd be one of those things where you could lift that off the page and say, this is what I want for the members of my church. I want them to believe that, because it was such a clear statement of Christian orthodoxy that they held to. The reason they said no federal religious test for federal office is they knew that each of the states had a different test. Delaware had one religious test, Maryland had a different religious test, the state of Virginia a different religious test. So on, all 13 states had a religious test that was different from each other. So if the federal government came up with a religious test, then they would have a conflict between the states. So they said, we'll just leave this at the state level, which reminds me that our founders really, when they were crafting our Constitution, were approaching it in this fashion. Anything that can be done by the state should be done by the state. The only things that should be done by the federal government are the things that only the federal government can do. For example, calling together all the state militias to defend the country. That's something the federal government needs to do. No one state could really do that. They have control over their own militia, but obviously not over the militia of the state next door to them. So only the things that must be done by the federal government should be done by the federal government. That was the basic philosophy as they crafted our Constitution. So here they said, well, there's no point in having a federal religious test, which will cause a disruption with the state system. The states already have their religious test. Why don't we just let the state religious test stand? And we know that the practicality is that nobody's going to arise to the federal office level unless they have been won offices at the state level. So they've already passed the state religious test, so they won a seat as a delegate, maybe as a senator, maybe as a governor, and now, you know, the voters have trusted them enough that they're going to elect them up to the federal level as a member of the House of Representatives or a Senate and so on. So no one, they understood, would rise to that higher level of office, the federal level, unless they'd been through the state level, which means they've already met the religious test in their own home state. So the federal government doesn't need to create a homogenized religious test. They can allow the state religious test to stand, and each state then would have its own religious test that was somewhat different from the state next door to them.
But I think it's important to realize that when they actually passed the Constitution, literally every state had their own version of Christianity. In other words, one was Huguenot, and one certainly was the Congregationalist and Presbyterian. Almost every state did have a religion, and it was a state religion. Of course, we've gotten away from that, and justifiably so. But there's no question at all. When America was founded, all of the leaders were Christian. But little bit by little bit, they eroded that because they want to destroy the Christian foundation of this country, because those will not be ruled by God, will be ruled by tyrants.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid that is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess is Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. We're talking about certainly the American Constitution, the most unique document in the world, the document that has given so much freedom to so many people. What is this, really the essence of it? Well, it's basically that the power of the central authority would be limited. The whole idea was to take the chains off of the people, to put it onto government, so people could be free. And matters dealing with life, liberty, and property were all to be taken care of at the state and the local level, never to be taken care of by the federal government. And the government was not to provide for your health or for your education or welfare. This would be a local issue decided at each state. Well, those, of course, who want to centralize all power, those who want a dictatorship, realized it was going to be far easier to control one federal government than 50 independent states, and that is why they have violated their oath of office. And this subversive element has centralized all power in Washington, D.C., and we are moving rapidly towards a dictatorship. Certainly Barack Hussein Obama does not believe in our Constitution and is doing everything he can to destroy it. But right now, before we go on, David, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with the Institute of the Constitution and set up in their own school, in their own home, in their own church, a training program to begin to teach others about our Constitution. Get out your telephone number and your website, and then tell them how they can set up these programs. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Stan. Yes, we've put together what we call a host kit because you're invited to host a class. That is, you don't do the actual teaching. We have 12 lectures that constitutional law professor Michael Peruca and then myself conduct these lectures, and those lectures have an outline that is given to the student in a student manual where they've got a thorough outline of each lecture, as well as test questions, supplemental reading materials, homework assignments, and all. So this is designed so that anyone, anywhere, with any group of people can actually communicate our founders' view of law and government, their philosophy of law and government, which was a biblical philosophy of law and government, and also a working knowledge of the Declaration, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, essentially what every citizen needs in order to do his job in terms of choosing those who ask for our votes, and also serving on a jury, a petit jury or a grand jury. The essential elements, understanding, and the working knowledge of the founding documents. That's what this course gives, and anyone can do it. We have housewives doing it, people with backgrounds in history, as well as people who, you know, are just blue-collar workers. It doesn't matter what your background is. We've designed this to be a turnkey way in which you can communicate these truths with any group of people. You can get our host kit either by calling us at Institute on the Constitution. You can call toll-free 1-866-730-9796. That toll-free number again for Institute on the Constitution is 1-866-730-9796. Or if you prefer, you can go to our website. The website for Institute on the Constitution is one word, The American View, theamericanview.com. And there, as you open up that very first page, you'll see a button on that page for go get a host kit. And that'll take you to our web store where you can order a host kit, as well as there's a whole lot of training materials in addition to the host kit that can help you explain and share with others a true constitutional understanding of law and government and all the various issues of our day. I just completed a First Friday lecture last month. It's now available on the website. Staying on target is the subject matter, but really it deals with the theology of the right to keep and bear arms. Does Scripture say anything about our right to keep and bear arms? Did Jesus say anything about our right to keep and bear arms? And the answer is yes, very, very strongly so. And then we also take a look at the Constitution and the guarantees in our Constitution regarding the right to keep and bear arms. So that DVD is now available, as well as many other resources. So go to our website, theamericanview.com, and you can order our host kit to conduct a class, or if you choose, you could take our U.S. course online. As you can see, all the same videos and PDFs of the student materials and take the tests online. The whole thing can be done online from the convenience of your home at any time or work at any time that you choose to take that course. So you can take it that way, as well as purchase a host kit. But we strongly encourage people to get a host kit because we know the dynamic of what happens in the classroom setting where there's various students who come from different backgrounds, and one person begins to share, well, I read this in the newspaper this week, and in light of what we just talked about here in the Constitution, here's how I now understand what's taking place, and that kind of synergy among the students happens as people begin to have their eyes open to our founders' view of law and government and begin to have a working ability to use our founding documents in evaluating the newspaper headlines of the day and the events and the decisions being made in Washington as well as in our state capital. So get a host kit. It's the best investment you can make to restore the republic, because it's going to take a grassroots effort to restore the republic. Dr. Stan, we know the news media is completely against this message getting out. We know that the education system, academia, both at the K-12 as well as college and graduate school, all as well committed to preventing this message from getting out. So everywhere we turn, we're blocked. It's got to take a grassroots effort of the average citizen rising up to study this, share this with as many people as possible, and then take action. So it's possible to restore America, but it's going to take everyone's action. Call us toll-free at Institute on the Constitution, 1-866-730-9796, or go to our website, theamericanview.com.
And one more time, the telephone number, and one more time, the website.
The telephone number for Institute on the Constitution is 1-866-730-9796, and our website for Institute is theamericanview.com.
Okay, go right ahead, David. But I think it's so vitally important that our listeners out there understand. They must understand the Constitution. They must understand there's a subversive element that controls Washington, D.C., that is violating their oath to uphold the Constitution. And they must, of course, get that word out, because if we cannot preserve our constitutional form of government, then we are going to lose our freedom. And believe me, freedom is hanging certainly by a thread today. And remember, of course, that those will not be ruled by God will be ruled by tyrants. And America is not being ruled by God today. The whole moral structure of our society is broken down. Over half of our Christian marriages ended in divorce. 40% of all children born in America are born out of wedlock. Certainly, we are finding, certainly all across America, we're being told, the American people think homosexual marriage is perfectly all right. I really don't believe that's true, but it doesn't matter whether it's true or not. That's what the media is telling us over and over and over again. And basically, of course, certainly the big problem we have is we've lost our, certainly the concept that we are to follow God's way of life rather than doing what we want to. And any country that's ever had certainly this independence, well, we don't need God. We're going to do what we want to. Eventually, God has brought his judgment on that nation. And that judgment may be coming much sooner than many people think. Go right ahead, David.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the psalmist says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And although he doesn't say it, he implies it would be the reverse. Cursed is the nation whose God is anything other than the one true God. So indeed, if we're going to experience the blessings of liberty, we need a revival in America. We need to repent of all of our evil deeds, and we need to restore godly government, which is essentially what it was our founders were structuring, godly government. And as we say here, when we're looking at the oath of office, that oath was there to weed out anyone who did not have a proper understanding of who God is and God's judgment, that he holds us in judgment. When we make a promise to do something, he's going to check up on it to be certain that we did as we had promised. So that's the elements of Article 6 of our Constitution. I'd like to, you know, give a letter for each of the articles to help people kind of have a system in their mind of where to find things in the Constitution. And so the first article, Article 1, legislative, is L, obviously, and the second article, executive branch, is E, quite obviously as well, and the third article deals with the judiciary, so it's J. So the first three articles, L, E, J, easy to remember it that way. The fourth article deals with the issue of the states and the relation between the states. So you could say the fourth article should be the S, L-E-J-S, the first four articles. And then Article 5 deals with the amendment process. So we could label Article 5 letter A, and then we have L-E-J-S-A. And now we have looked at the sixth article, which deals primarily with the supremacy clause. So we could say that that is an S. But now we have six articles, L-E-J-S-A-S. And then the final article, Article 7, deals with ratification. We could call it an R for the process of ratification. They stated that the Constitution would be ratified and become effective when 9 of the 13 potential states that could come into this new government, 9 of them ratified it. It would become effective for those 9 states. And they chose this because they realized that one of the problems under the Articles of Confederation was that in order to amend anything or to change anything at all, it took unanimous consent of all 13 states. And they knew they weren't going to have unanimous consent because, for example, Rhode Island never showed up to the Constitutional Convention, and they doubted it would agree to anything that the rest of them agreed to. So they said when 9 of the 13 states agree, then they become, under the Constitution, essentially a new country. So the framers were proposing a different means of ratification because they were absolutely certain in their minds that Rhode Island would never ratify it, although ultimately we found in history it did. And they also realized that potentially there were some other states that would not ratify, and the fact of the matter is it was pretty close vote in some of the other states regarding the ratification of the Constitution. And now Congress approved this means of ratification as it the committee, you know, that met at the Constitutional Convention, they handed their finished product over to the Congress. And so Congress looked at the means of ratification, and they agreed and sent it on to the state for each state to hold a convention regarding ratification. So the states would all elect delegates to this convention ratification group for their state, and they would debate it and then vote whether to ratify or to not ratify the United States Constitution. And the Constitution was effective, that is, nine states had ratified it by June 21st, the year 1788. About 9 months after they completed the Constitution in Philadelphia. So New Hampshire was the state that made the ratification complete for those nine states. But we need to remember that means there were four states who had not yet ratified it as of June 21st, 1788. Those four states then were still under the old system. That is, they were still under the Articles of Confederation. So essentially what you had here is two countries at that time. The country that was under the Articles of Confederation, four states, and the country that was under the Constitution, nine states. Now, very quickly, those numbers changed, as within a month, two other states, Virginia and New York, that were pretty close calls in terms of the ratification debate and the vote, but those two states quickly joined the other nine. So now you had 11 states in this new form of government under the Constitution, and two states, North Carolina and Rhode Island, remaining outside, remaining their own country under the Articles of Confederation. In other words, they still had a relationship with each other under the Articles of Confederation, and North Carolina didn't ratify until November 21st, 1789. That's more than a year and a half after the Constitution became effective once New Hampshire had ratified it. And Rhode Island took even longer. It wasn't until May 29th, 1790. So a total of nearly 2 years after New Hampshire had effected the Constitution by ratifying it. It was almost 2 years later before Rhode Island decided to join the Union. That was perfectly legitimate for Rhode Island to stay outside of the Union altogether. Perfectly legitimate for North Carolina if it chose to stay outside the Union, or New York or Virginia or any of the states. No one was being forced into this Union. We need to remember, they voluntarily joined this Union as they voluntarily were leaving the Union that existed under the Articles of Confederation. This is the principle of our Declaration of Independence, that government is always by consent of the governed. And if the governed don't consent to be in one government, they can choose to leave that government and form another government. And so that's what we had done under the Declaration of Independence, that we're separating from, we're seceding from the government of Great Britain under King George III, and we're forming our own government. Well, in essence, it was exactly the same thing that was happening with the Articles of Confederation. Nine states initially seceded from the Articles of Confederation, and they formed the government under the U.S. Constitution. And Virginia and New York joined them, and eventually North Carolina and Rhode Island joined them. But it was a voluntary thing that they were acknowledging that they had the power to join this union, implying they also had the power to leave this union. By the way, there were a few states like Virginia that were very clear in their ratification document that by joining this union, it did not mean they could not leave the union. That is, if the government became tyrannical again, like King George III, or the government somehow just wasn't working out like the Articles of Confederation, just as they had freely joined, they could also freely leave the Union. That's something that the 16th president tyrannically said, no, you can't leave unless you're going to leave in a body bag. Well, he was absolutely wrong in many respects regarding that, because we have the right and the power of self-governance, and the consent of the governed means that we, the people in our state, have the right to secede if we choose to do so. I pray it would never get to that.
And I really think it's so important that people understand the Civil War. They've been lied to, as you've been lied to about so many things. But remember, the Emancipation Proclamation, having to do with doing away with slavery, wasn't actually put out until 1863, almost 2 years after the war started. Well, I thought the war was about slavery. No, ladies and gentlemen, it was about enslaving the people. The North wanted to dominate the South, and North had tariffs to protect itself, and basically, of course, they were exploiting the South because they had more representatives in Congress, and the South said, we don't want to be taken advantage by the Northern states. That's what it was all about. Slavery was simply something that came about down the line. We had to have an excuse for this terrible, terrible war that had nothing to do with slavery. As in the Emancipation Proclamation, liberated the slaves in the South, which of course they couldn't do because they didn't control the South, but it left the slaves in the North still enslaved. Most of what you've learned about history just is not true. But what we need to understand is that freedom means the limitation on the power of government, so men can be free.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, truly do what you said. Being free of disease is real well. Home for Health.
There is a disturbing trend here in these United States that is progressing unnoticed and without constraint. From the Supreme Court to the smallest county seat, we have seen the judiciary make decisions which are more legislative than interpretive. Our founding fathers designed our three-part governmental system to have checks and balances upon each other. Each branch of the government has now taken upon itself power that was never intended for it to have. The judicial branch in particular needs reform. We must pass laws which bring a renewed sense of justice to our nation's court system. I urge you to go to judicialreformnow.com. That's judicialreformnow.com. There you can find out what you can do to stem the tide of judicial malpractice. judicialreformnow.com.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Well, our guest has been Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. One more time, David, get out your telephone number and your website, then we'll let you go.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. Institute on the Constitution can be reached at 1-866-730-9796 or by going to our website, theamericanview.com. That's theamericanview.com. Thank you so much, Dr. Stan. May God bless you and your great work.
And please give our best to Michael Perutka, who I think hopefully is going to be our guest tomorrow. Anyway, God bless.
God bless.
Okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan. And of course, that was Michael Now, that was Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. We urge you to get the information and to begin studying and understand that we have subversives in Washington, D.C. who are leading us to our destruction now. I see the other problems we have. Basically, of course, if you're listening to what the leaders of North Korea are talking about, they're talking about a nuclear war. And they're talking about a nuclear war, and they're talking about the destruction of the United States. Today I called on the telephone a man named Peter Pry. He was actually on the Congressional Commission that investigated this. He's worked for the CIA, the Office of Homeland Security. He's been on a number of congressional committees, certainly a member of the staff. And when I talked to him about the danger of an EMP attack, he started talking, and he gave me a full lecture. I'm calling him to get him onto our program. I finally had to intercede and say, look, we want this certainly for the program they're going to be doing, so we do have him coming on about a week and a half. He'll be with us, Peter Pry. But go up on the Internet and read his article in the Washington Times, and he will tell you that the North Koreans do have nuclear weapons. They have EMP weapons. They're lightweight. They can be put onto a missile. Koreans actually have the ability to put one of these weapons onto the top of a satellite, on the top of a missile, and send it over the United States. And you're being lied to. And the question is, why? Well, if you want to know the threat of an EMP attack, we have actually a DVD, Ambassador Henry Cooper's talk. We have a 4-CD set on EMP attack. We have a book, A Nation Forsaken, by Michael Maloof, who is actually 30 years with the Defense Department, and when he left, why, of course, he was a senior analyst, and we've had him on our programs, but you'll want to get his book, certainly A Nation Forsaken, and you'll want to get the 2004 Congressional Commission report. They're all available from Radio Liberty, and you've got to start talking, and you've got to get people to understand that we are certainly very much threatened by this danger. Now, basically, if you look at things logical, there's nothing logical going on in the world today. And the decision will not be made by our leaders or by the Korean leaders. I believe if God is going to bring judgment on this nation, it's going to happen at this time because there's some specific reason why we have never defended ourselves. They've known for between 10 and 15 years what to do, and it's been blocked at every turn. America is totally susceptible to an electromagnetic pulse attack. The DVD is called The Threat of an EMP Attack. The 4-CD set, The Threat of an EMP Attack. And then, of course, just ask for the Heritage Foundation report. We'll send that to you free of charge. You need to get the book. You need to get the Congressional Commission report by calling us at 1-800-544-8927. And you have to understand, everybody's telling us there's nothing to worry about. Well, I will tell you after talking to Peter Pry this morning, who was on the Congressional Commission, who was with, of course, the department, with all these various congressional commissions that looked into the background of a threat of an EMP attack. And I will tell you that he is certainly very, very concerned. He thinks that North Korea is a major threat to America today, and so do I. Anyway, under any circumstances, you need to have the information. If you're in a position to help Radio Liberty maintain our network of stations, we'd love to hear from you. You can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters or subscribe to our newsletter or advertise with us or get our products. Our number 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. Could you imagine America's electronic grid being wiped out tomorrow? And suddenly, America is plunged into chaos. It can happen, and that's what Peter Pry says, and he was on the commission. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
God bless America, the land that I love. Stand beside her. Through the prairie, through the ocean, white with gold.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, it may very well be your views because our regularly scheduled guests, his doesn't seem to be available. He's not answering his telephone. I'll ask our producer to keep trying to reach him. But basically, if you have a question or comment or anything you would like to talk about, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And perhaps perhaps our producer could call Barbara and actually get the cell phone. We do have a cell phone. The guest was to be Brad Dacus tonight, and so maybe Ari could call Barbie and get Brad Dacus' cell phone. We could call him on that and see if we could raise him. But I talked to him, and then, of course, but if you're out there in the listening audience, there's something you would like to talk about, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, basically, most people say they are not very worried about this thing of North Korea, but ladies and gentlemen, North Korea has a nuclear bomb. It has the ability. They actually have these bombs. How do we know? Well, of course, we have this the article from the Washington Times, which was written by Peter Pry, who I talked to this morning. And basically, he said that North Korea is a mortal nuclear threat to the United States. And right now, this is not imaginary. And this is a man who was a member of the, or at least he was on the staff of the Congressional Commission that looked into the background. And basically, you have to understand that the North Koreans are simply a surrogate of communist China. We actually put the communists in power in China. We've kept them in power. We've been financing North Korea. Now, why would we finance North Korea, and how do we finance North Korea? Very simply, the United States has over 28,000 troops stationed in South Korea, and when you have 28,000 troops occupying a nation, you control that nation. Oh, the people can have their elections, but when you have a military force of 28,000 highly trained and well-armed forces in a nation, you control that nation. And basically, of course, what they've done is that North Korea is very inefficient. It doesn't have much in the way of industry, can't even feed its own people. So basically, we set up this industrial complex in the sort of no man's land between North and South Korea. And there are about 100 businesses of one sort or another. They employ over 100,000 people, 50,000 from South Korea, 50,000 from North Korea. And that is probably the major source of income for the North Koreans. That basically, they have no other source of income. And so this gives them the dollars that they need, by which they can buy weapons. They have over 10,000 tanks. They have, I think, something like I've forgotten the exact number of planes, but they have a massive air force, something like 10 thousands of airplanes. Now, maybe they're old vintage, but the important thing is that they actually have the ability to field intercontinental ballistic missiles, both short range, intermediate range, and long range. And they didn't develop this on their own. They got this from communist China. They got it from us. And nobody really wants to talk about the fact that we have done everything we could, of course, to build up North Korea. And you have to ask yourself, why would we do that? Well, ladies and gentlemen, because you have to have an enemy. This is why we built up the Nazis in the 1930s, so we could have the Second World War. We killed 60 million people. But if you doubt that we financed the Nazis all during the war, and before the war, why, of course, that is covered in John Loftus's wonderful book, America's Nazi Secret. And I have a letter, certainly, that will verify that, which I found when I went to Colonel House's papers. Well, right now we have Ted calling us from Moses Lake, and Sydney. Hi, Ted. How are we doing?
Oh, fine, Dr. Stan. It's good to talk to you. You know, I always enjoy your programs, and the more I listen to you, the more I learn.
Well, you know, basically, this whole thing is so incredible. I'm constantly learning all the time myself. So anyway, God bless you. I'm so glad you enjoy the program.
Well, thanks, Dr. Stan. There's just two things I'd like to touch on tonight. You've mentioned before, well, 2 weeks ago, the Washington State of Representatives over in Olympia voted to give illegal aliens college, let them qualify for college, for state aid, for college tuition. And this is in a time when there's 32,000 American citizens who can't get the college tuition, who are in line to get it but can't get it because there isn't enough funds to go around. A representative from Moses Lake, Judy Warnick, she's our state representative. Every time she comes back from Olympia, she looks like she's been smoking pot because she's got this stupid, silly grin on her face, and she doesn't seem to have any brains between her two ears. Anyway, I wanted to let you know that. And the second thing is that you've talked before about the Common Core curriculum that's being pushed through the U.S.
Yes, I have.
Well, I did some research, and the SPI, the Superintendent of Public Instruction here in Washington out of Olympia, has embraced it totally. This is mostly a Democratic state. It's controlled by the voters on the west side of the mountains, mostly in Seattle. And they've embraced Common Core directly. And so I called the superintendent of public, I called the superintendent of public instruction's office and also a local educational leader here in Moses Lake. And they said that they don't have any choice. They're going along with it. And what's ironic is that, from what I understand, Bill Gates is behind this one of the people behind this Common Core educational scheme, where 70% of the English literature is taken out in favor of his computer books. The problem I have with that, among many other problems, is that Bill Gates himself, in the Seattle Times in January of this year, called for more engineers to be hired at Microsoft, saying he's claimed that he couldn't find enough people in the sciences in this country, so he has to go abroad to India and China to hire the people at lower wages, bring them here to the United States on H-1B professional visas. But he himself, Bill Gates, is behind this Common Core. And as if you said before, Dr. Stan, they take out geometry classes, they move algebra from 8th to 9th grade, they eliminate 70% of the English literature requirements. So they're basically dumbing down a whole generation of American citizens for the sake of Bill Gates. Now, personally, I think Shakespeare is far more important than Bill Gates' profits are. But I just wanted to thank you for your excellent programs on Common Core, because I've done some research, and they're doing it here, absolutely, statewide.
Hold that thought. Basically, I agree with everything that you said. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We have Ted calling from Moses Lake, and he certainly is very, very upset by the fact that the state of Washington is adopting the Common Core curriculum. And those of you who haven't heard our 4-tape set on Common Core, those of you who actually 4-CD set, and then, of course, we have a book on Common Core, and basically it goes into the background of this total transformation of our educational system. And basically, of course, it's to get the kids away from being in classes with a teacher. Basically, the teacher is only going to be there to more or less keep the kids in line while they're working on the computers. Every child will have a computer, and you'll have centralized curriculum, centralized authority. And of course, basically, these computers are dangerous to the health of little kids. I mean, it's one thing for an adult to be using a computer from time to time. These are kids with immature bone structure and immature brains, and basically they're going to be sitting in front of these computers. But we are starting at a very young age, and it's going to have terrible health problems. But also, it's aimed at dumbing down the child, and basically they're going to put off starting algebra. Are they coming up with a form of a geometry that is just won't work at all? They're not going to get calculus in high school because there's not going to be any time. These people know exactly what they're doing. And so basically, we have to understand that we have a disastrous educational program. Of course, Ted pointed out that this is being pushed by Bill Gates, but it's being pushed by the great tax-exempt foundations, being pushed by a lot of people who want to intentionally dumb down the American people. And basically, there's so much that's being done to attack the brains of our children. We're poisoning our children with aluminum that they're spraying in the air, with mercury that they're putting in their teeth and in their vaccines, and certainly with fluoride that they're putting in the water. And of course, the fluoride is hydrofluorosilicic acid, which raises the level of lead in the blood supplies. One study, 450,000 children, the largest study ever done in the United States, done under the auspices of the CDC. And they found in the areas where they fluoridated the water with hydrofluorosilicic acid, number one, that you double the level of the blood in white children. You went up four times in Hispanic children, went up six times in black children. And you could correlate the crime, certainly, and the number of blacks in prison in the areas where they fluoridated the water with hydrofluorosilicic acid, and then compared it with the areas where they didn't. And of course, you had low levels of incarceration in the levels where they were not poisoning the blacks with lead, and very high levels in the other. And this is never mentioned at all. Our people are under attack today, lead. Ted, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. It looks like it's going to be open lines. We haven't been able to get our speaker. Go right ahead, Ted.
Yes, I'd just like to add one more thing. I've talked to the teachers here and several superintendents of local school districts. They're all against Common Core. And I've written up an initiative, a statewide initiative, to overturn Common Core here in Washington State. I can't do it on my own, but I would love people's input. Can I give out my toll-free number? People can call me.
You go right ahead, Ted. I apologize. I applaud you doing that. Once again, if you're out there in the listening audience, you'd like to talk about any subject, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And Ted, let's go ahead and get your telephone number out.
Okay, thank you. I've run initiative campaigns before, successful ones, and I can run this one, but I do need some help, volunteer help. The toll-free number is 1-888-879-8339. And that's 1-888-879-8339.
Okay, now basically, what are you going to, what is the initiative that you're trying to get through?
Statewide initiative to overturn Common Core in Washington State.
Well, basically, because you know your governor, once they agree to it, they have to do it. Basically, of course, a lot of the states were dragged into this because Barack Obama promised to give a large sums of money to the states to finance this. What they didn't tell the people is that only about 10% of the states were going to get the money. The rest of them were going to have to come up with the money on their own. And we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars in a state like yours. And the average individual has no idea what's going on.
When parents find out that the state is intentionally, and Obama is essentially dumbing down a whole generation of students just so Bill Gates can make a lot of money, I don't think they're going to be very happy about it. You know, in 1941, the Nazis came into Denmark, and they tried to get the elementary school teachers to teach anti-Semitic texts and Nazism throughout Denmark. Every single teacher in Denmark refused, and not one teacher went to a concentration camp. We have to have that same kind of stand-up to Obama and his minions in this state and across America today if we hope to maintain our freedom.
And you're absolutely right, Ted. Basically, Obama is a subversive. He's trying to destroy the educational system of we have at the present time. It's not good, but he's going to make it a lot worse. He has a new initiative. I don't know if you know about it, but they want to get the children started in schools, at 4 years of age. They want to get them into the schools at 4 years of age. What they really want to do is get them out of the home so they can begin indoctrinating them in homosexuality and immorality. And he's going to come up with some sort of a new tax to pay for this, putting the children in there. And this is one of the provisions in this new budget. Every child will go to start school at 4 years of age. We couldn't possibly leave them at home until the time of kindergarten. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. We're going to be doing open lines, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have something you'd like to talk about or like to talk about this, why I think this is such a vitally important subject. Well, Ted, what other initiatives have you run in the past?
Well, I ran a couple of different initiatives in the 80s and 90s here in Washington State. And then I frankly burned out a lot of work and went on to do other things. But I know what to do to get volunteer help. And the thing that you've talked so much about, the controlled media, so much of the media is controlled. Most of the people don't realize what's happening to their sons and daughters until they come home, and then they figure, then they realize that Johnny and Susan don't understand mathematics. They can't write cursive writing. They don't understand English literature. They have no idea about the history of the United States. They have no idea about the Constitution. And then they realize what they've learned, of course, are what's important to Bill Gates, because Bill Gates has got himself a whole vast now population of American school kids that he's cornered as a market under Obama's educational regime. And this ensures his profits at Microsoft. I find the whole thing, frankly, disgusting. And I think when parents find out in Washington State what Obama's doing to their children, they'll get rid of this Common Core immediately. You know, the evil forces like to go into a cloak of darkness and not tell people what they're up to.
Well, let me
only much later.
You know, it's really, people have to ask you, why would these things be going on? Well, I will tell you why. There is an organization that's known as the Lucius Trust. It used to be known as the Lucifer Publishing House because, of course, it's Luciferian. But if you go into the various front groups that finance this Lucius Trust, one of those front groups was at least in part financed by an organization known as the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. We actually have that information. This is not imaginary. This is real. These people know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the public to know. Anything else you want to say, Ted, before we let you go?
No, Dr. Stan, I'll send you a copy of the initiative, and if people could call me, I'd love their help.
And,
Ted,
I want you to get your telephone number out one more time. And ladies and gentlemen, here's something that you can do. You can get involved. I've never met Ted. I've never talked to him. I don't recall talking to him before. But he's on the front lines of this battle. He's willing to take a leadership position. Are you willing to work with him? Get your telephone number out again.
Sure, Dr. Stan. It's 1-888-879-8339. Call anytime. If I don't answer, just leave your name and phone number, and I'll get right back to you.
All right, fine. Let's see if we get something going up there and just teach people about Common Core. And the objective is that they intentionally and maliciously want to dumb down your children, and they're already poisoning them, and now they want to destroy their minds completely. Thanks very much for calling. Let's go to Bruce, who's calling us from Spokane, Washington. Well, and again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-2295. Hi, Bruce, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing fine, Dr. Stan. I just wanted to spin off on that talk you had about South Korea. After my tour in Iraq, I got a little decompression tour of South Korea, and it was not very stressful at all, but I worked on the wargaming that the U.S. military does in a secret block building with no windows, and it's manned by, dozens and dozens of people that, are at least somewhat computer literate, and some have more than a room temperature IQ. We shared the building with South Korean nationals and South Korean military, except for a few of the small rooms that were top secret. But the purpose was to analyze all the scenarios of an invasion by North Korea, an attack by North Korea, and figuring out the losses and what you'd and how you would resupply the U.S. military and the South Korean military to battle off and stave off the attacks of North Korea. Fascinating study. It was a one-month-long block in a block building where they checked your identification every single time you entered or left. And it just shows where we are.
And basically, of course, Bruce, I have heard it said that North Korea has the largest army, made up of army regulars, and, of course, reserves, the largest army in the world with 8 million reserves. Is that true?
It's pretty much there. We got a good tour of the ROK, R-O-K, the Republic of Korean military. Excellent soldiers, by the way, very highly motivated. There almost isn't a week that goes by that a life isn't lost by the intentional incursion across the border by North Korean soldiers or infiltrators, where they'll attack and check the response of the South.
And my understanding is there's all sorts of tunnels under the demilitarized zone.
There are. And
we're going to have to let you go because our regularly scheduled guest is here, but I would love to talk to Bruce. Thank you so very much. Will you call again next week? We'd love to talk to you. Okay?
All right, thanks.
God bless.
Take care.
Okay,
bye.
Fine. This is Dr. Stan. We'll have Brad Dacus with us when we get back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, hi, Brad. How are we doing?
Doing just great.
Okay, fine. Well, Sydney, we're going to introduce you to all of our audience in just about 3 or 4 minutes, but what are some of the major issues that you'd like to talk to our audience? Now, this is a nationwide audience. We have a lot of listeners in California, but basically, of course, we have listeners all across the United States, all across the world. But I think that most of the things that you're dealing with are in California, but the problems of California, I think, simply are paralleled all throughout the world. So basically, what are the important things that you would like to talk about this hour?
Well, one is we're going to be arguing in a few days in the Ninth Circuit to defend the judge's granting of a preliminary injunction against the enforcement of SB 1172, which prohibits kids from young people who are struggling with same-sex attraction. It prohibits them from getting counseling from a licensed counselor that may steer them away from that lifestyle.
They actually have a law that says that you can't counsel a young child who wants to get out of a homosexual relationship.
That's right. There's not a licensed counselor will no longer is according to that law allowed to do. We got a preliminary injunction by a federal judge. It's a real big case. And then we have those two pending state statutes that are being considered, which are very outrageous, that let boys go into girls' bathrooms and lockers. And then the other, which would require the Boy Scouts and even groups like Young Life to have to hire homosexual and transsexual leaders for youth leaders, even though it goes totally against what they feel is appropriate and best for the children.
Well, now, wait a minute. What basically, don't the Boy Scouts, can't they determine what they want to do as far as can't they exclude gay activists and homosexuals from being scout leaders?
Yeah, the Supreme Court and the state Supreme Court said, yes, that's right. But what this legislation would do was take away their state tax-exempt status, which would financially seriously cripple all these wonderful youth organizations that don't agree to hire transvestite, transsexual, or homosexual leaders for their children. It's hit, I know.
Well, we live in a world gone mad, and I can't imagine that God's going to be very, very happy with what's going on here. Now, all these things have been passed by the legislature here in California?
Yeah, the first one, as I mentioned, is the law. The other two, just with the locker rooms and the youth organizations are pending legislation.
Basically, you're not going to bring a case until this actually is a law, are you? Or are
right.
you? Right.
You're right. But we are testifying before it. We are fighting it hard in the legislature to try to stop them, both of them.
Well, do you think that these things could possibly pass? I mean, basically, who'd want to send their daughter to a public school when you could have boys coming into the girls' bathroom?
Yeah, well, the one that deals with the youth organizations that I mentioned, yesterday it passed the Senate Finance Committee on a vote of 5-2. So it's moving full steam. Not even close. 5-2 out of Senate Finance Committee.
Well, basically, of course, certainly things seem to be moving at a tremendous pace now. As you talk to people across the state, are they concerned about this sort of thing?
Oh, yes. They're very concerned. And we're encouraging them to go to a special website we've created called, that I think they'll find really good. It's called genderinsanity.com, genderinsanity.com.
Okay, fine. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Brad Dacus, and I've known Brad, I guess 20 years or more. When did you start your organization, the Pacific Justice Institute?
Yeah, I was back in 1997.
Well, time flies when you're having fun, and I've known you ever since, because I knew you when you worked for John Whitehead.
Right.
How long did you work for John before he pulled out of here?
5 years. 5 years. We opened an office. I opened an office for them in California, and then after 5 years, they had to scale back and close down their regional offices, the full-time regional offices, and that's what inspired me to continue the work and start Pacific Justice Institute.
Well, I think that probably I've known then Brad for about 20 years, because that would be would have started about 1992, and I knew him shortly after we began doing our talk radio, and that was, as I recall, in 1992.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So basically, Brad, of course, has the Pacific Justice Institute, and what they do, of course, is they take legal cases that have to do with moral or Christian issues, and without charge, they provide lawyers, and they take these cases, and they take them to the courts. Now, they can't take on a lot of cases, but if they are specific cases that deal with, of course, the corruption that exists here in California, or anybody throughout the world, here in the United States, they will take these cases on. Now, we have to understand that right now, before the state legislature, there are several pieces of legislation pending. One of them is to allow boys to go into the girls' bathroom. If a boy says he wants to be a girl, he has a right to go into the bathroom, into their locker room where they're dressing and undressing. And of course, they're trying to get this legislation through. Another bit of legislation will require all organizations, tax-exempt organizations in the state, to allow homosexual and transvestite and lesbian leaders. And if you exclude them, then you lose your tax-exempt status. Now, and basically, of course, this would cripple the Boy Scouts and all sorts of other organizations. And yet, of course, they say, well, we want our free right, our right, and we want to have our people there in these organizations. Would you really want to have your son going to a scout troop headed by a homosexual, pedophile, and so many of these people are pedophiles? And then what is this legislation you mentioned, SB 1172?
That's right. That actually became law January 1st. And what it does is it bans anyone under the age of 18. This is outrageous, Dr. Stanley. Anyone under the age of 18 who's struggling with same-sex attraction or even same-sex conduct, and this kind of struggle, particularly in early adolescence, is not that uncommon. And so as they're working through their gender identity, having struggles, well, this legislation will prohibit those having those kind of struggles and attractions from being able to get any kind of counseling from a licensed counselor, even if it's a clergy licensed counselor, like a minister for licensed counselor. They prohibit them from getting any counseling that in any way is geared towards steering them away from either a same-sex attraction or same-sex sexual activity.
Well, what if the person wants to get the counseling? I mean, don't they have a choice, or they're told that they don't have a choice if they want counseling?
That's right. This legislation would completely take away that choice from the young person, from the parents, from the psychiatrist. It just says absolutely under no circumstances can any young person have any kind of counseling that in any way will steer them away from same-sex attraction or same-sex sexual activities and exploits.
Well, no, basically, of course, would that include a minister or a licensed minister?
Yeah, if the minister is a licensed counselor.
Oh, they have to be, but they could be just a minister. A minister
right.
would be able to counsel them, but if he has a license, he couldn't. Is that it?
Right, absolutely. Now, the problem with that, Dr. Stanley, of course, is that these are very complex issues. They could deal with sexual child abuse. They could involve a lack of parent-son bonding, where the skills of a licensed counselor could be very valuable. I mean, ministers are very valuable too, but to say you can go to a minister but only one that hasn't been trained in this area for as far as counseling is a real handicap. You know, no young person should have to choose between someone, a counselor who is in agreement with their faith and a counselor that's not in agreement with their faith but is licensed and trained. That's inconceivable as far as being fair to our young people who are struggling with these issues.
But you see, this doesn't make any sense, Brad. If we look and see what's going on, look at this legislation. Boys should go into the girls' dressing room because he wants to be a girl, and so he shouldn't have a right to go in. And because this can't counsel the people, and if they want counseling, certainly homosexual tendencies, certainly you can't stop, or you can't have a tax-exempt organization that would exclude certainly homosexuals or transvestites or lesbians from being in these organizations dealing with the children. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not madness. I believe this is the end result of a totally certainly degenerate society, and I would point out what most people don't want to, and that is that God is not going to look on this kindly. And as you begin to understand that we are threatening in the verge of a nuclear war, do you think God would allow an EMP attack on America if he was just? Well, Brad, there certainly are the people that you deal with, in a sense. What about the majority of the people here in California? We do know that when they had the Proposition 8, well, the majority voted certainly against same-sex marriage. I think the majority of people still have a moral foundation, don't you?
Oh, yes, they do. They definitely do. The problem is that many of them, though, end up electing legislators that... that they think are representing them well, perhaps on fiscal issues, they think they're looking after them. But then when they get to Sacramento, they turn against them on the family issues, like particularly in the Latino community, they're very pro-family, very pro-faith. And yet the representatives in the state assembly and state senate that are representing those Latino communities are supporting this kind of very liberal, extreme, anti-family, anti-God kind of legislation. I don't like to be too simplistic, but it's pretty easy, I think, with these bills to call it that. And we at the Pacific Justice Institute, with regard to the One Deal with Counseling, we went into federal court, Dr. Stanley, and in December, right before it became law, and we got a federal judge, a very seasoned, experienced federal judge in Sacramento, in a 38-page opinion, granted us our motion for preliminary injunction to partially hold back this legislation, at least for the parents or the clients we're representing, like the psychologists we're representing. And now that's being appealed. The state of California, the Attorney General, they're not happy with that. They've appealed it to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. We at the Pacific Justice Institute are going to be arguing that and defending our preliminary injunction against this counseling bill on April 17th. So if people could be praying for us, I would greatly appreciate it because for the Ninth Circuit, and who knows with regard to the Ninth Circuit what could happen. So.
Well, but basically, if you fail in the Ninth Circuit, would you take this to the Supreme Court?
Well, this is an interlocutory appeal. So it means it would go back down to the lower federal court, be heard completely on the merits. It would likely then be declared unconstitutional because the federal judge that's hearing the case has already said he thinks at the end it'll probably be found unconstitutional. Then it would go back up to the Ninth Circuit, and then it would go to the Supreme Court.
Well, has this certainly been put on hold? In other words, the law is not being enforced until it's been determined what the status is?
Right, because of that.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Brad Dacus. Our telephone number, if you have a question or comment for him, he's with the Pacific Justice Institute. But if you have a question or comment, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And Brad is actually, they're taking this case, this is about the psychological counseling, that if you're suddenly less than 18, and suddenly you wonder whether you're homosexual, or maybe you have homosexual tendencies, but you don't want them, but you're not allowed to go to a licensed counselor in the state. Basically, what happened was, of course, they took this case to a federal court. The federal judge said it's unconstitutional. You can't pass legislation like that. Now, of course, now it's going to the Ninth Circuit Court. And when would you be actually appealing that?
We're appealing it to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals on April 17th. That's when they're going to be hearing oral argument. Our attorneys are going to be there arguing the case. And hopefully we'll get the majority of that three-judge panel to agree with the lower federal court judge and allow this preliminary injunction to stand while the case is pending in the for a final outcome by the federal court in that's hearing the case.
Okay, fine. Well, but fortunately, we do have Brad there to representing the Christian point of view, the moral point of view, and basically, of course, the average person would not be able to afford these very expensive litigations, but fortunately, Brad is able to do that because of the support of good people. How would you like to get out your website? Would you like to get out your telephone number? How can people get in touch with the Pacific Justice Institute, which I personally endorse? We support it ourselves. Barbara and I have supported them for a number of years, and we're proud to be able to do it. How can people get in touch with you and your organization, Brad?
You bet. People around the world, around the country, can contact us, because this is going to be affecting the United States and eventually, I think, other countries that try to emulate it if we don't stop it. They can contact us on our webpage, our website, which is pacificjustice.org, pacificjustice.org, and then they can sign up to get our press releases without charge. They can donate to us without charge on that website. Also, we have they can make contact through our website to another website we've created where they can sign a petition and that we'll send to the legislators to try to influence them against the pending bills. And that other website we've created is called genderinsanity.com, genderinsanity.com, or you can go to our website, pacificjustice.org, and there at Pacific Justice you can link onto that. You'll connect onto it. But they're both wonderful resources.
Okay, fine. And we certainly endorse what Brad is doing and what he's working on. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. We have Mike calling from Flint, Michigan. Mike, do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, I'm going to try to ask this question. There's a separation between church and state, so...
There is no separation between church and state. That was actually totally fabricated by the Masons who control the United States Supreme Court between 1941 and 1971, when the Masons, which are part of a secret society, controlled the United States Supreme Court, and majorities of 5-4 to 8-1. And the fact that nobody will tell the American people that there really are secret societies that have an agenda. So they created a wall of separation that had never existed before that and is unconstitutional. But what was your question, Mike?
Yeah, so there is no separation of church and state. That's what you're saying, Doc?
Absolutely not. According to our Constitution, it's entirely contrived. But it was put in there by people who hate Christianity because, of course, Masons worship a different God, the great architect of the universe, symbolized on the back of your dollar bill on the left side by a pyramid capped by the all-seeing eye. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, they don't. So then we don't go by the Constitution and we don't go by the Word of God. Then what are we going by?
We're in real trouble, Mike. Do you have a question for our guest?
Well, let's
get Brad. Brad, how would you respond to Mike?
Yes, I think I know where he's coming from. And the First Amendment has something called the Establishment Clause, and that's there to protect religious institutions like churches and synagogues. It's to protect them from government intrusion, government control, government oppression. Because at the time of the colonies, some of the colonies, they were concerned about becoming like England with a government controlled the church and kicked out some denominations. And so that was the context. When you hear the phrase separation of church and state, that's the original, that's what Thomas Jefferson was talking about in a letter he'd written. And as Dr. Stannis pointed out, in the 1940s, the Supreme Court took that language and twisted it in a way to try to keep acknowledgement of God and faith, which is so interwoven in our nation's history from our Declaration of Independence, moving forward, that they tried to take that out and sort of deweave that out of dethread that from our America and our legal system. As far as these cases like the Boy Scouts, these are private organizations; they're not the government. So for the government to come in and try to control them and punish them because of their theology, because of their traditional religious beliefs and convictions and moral convictions, we believe, ironically, is actually a violation of the Establishment Clause. It's a violation because government's coming in and dictating its values, although very low-grade values, and contrary to thrusting those on those that have traditional religious beliefs and values.
Okay, Mike. Right.
Yeah, he gets it. That's exactly what I was talking about. So to somebody that gets it like that, what are we going to do? How are we going to stop the government from pushing themselves on children? They can't protect themselves. They're going after children,
right,
and telling them what they can and cannot do, and they shouldn't have the authority. We need to get the government's power out of our children's life.
Mike, that's what Brad is doing, and that's why they formed the Pacific Justice Institute. And if you want to support them, why you should, you can look them up on the Internet. We support them. Barbara and I have supported them ever since this organization was founded. Certainly, Brad has been a guest at our annual conference and has spoken. You can get his DVD for Radio Liberty. God bless. Thanks so much for calling, Mike. And our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But I think that Brad expresses the frustration of the average individual out there, seeing what's going on, saying it doesn't make any sense, and it doesn't make any sense. And we have to, first of all, organize, and we've got to get good people, and then we've got to point it out what these people are doing is unconstitutional.
Right.
Go ahead, Mike. Pardon me. Go ahead, Brad. If you're out there, the listening audience, and you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Brad, pick up the ball and run with it.
Yes. I think what he's real important to note is that there's several flanks on here. One is fighting at the legislative level with regard to legislators and let them know that you're taking note of it and that you're going to let this be heard, whether it's, in your neighborhood or community meetings or even from the pulpit where you're attending church or synagogue. You're going to make sure this gets out. And then second is if it does become law in your state or in your country, you want to contact Pacific Justice Institute then as well, because we step in. If we can't fight on the legislative level, we fight it in the court. And we fight it very aggressively. And, for example, as far as the United States is concerned, we'll take it all the way to the Supreme Court if necessary, because the stakes are so high when you think of how many hundreds of thousands, millions of young people are going to who have these struggles in early adolescence in particular, and sometimes even well into adulthood, but how critical it is for them to get the kind of counseling and support that they need. So many of them come from broken families without a father, without a healthy father bonding, or someone were sexually abused as a child, or they have these issues, and to deny them the ability to have to get these resolved in a healthy way so that they can move on and get married and have children. I mean, it's a very sick and demented, and that sounds like strong language, but I think when you look at the casualties of what we're facing, I think it's very sick and demented, and something we anyone with a heart of love and compassion for our young people could not stand by and just let it happen. And that's why we're involved in taking on the Pacific Justice Institute.
And, of course, the President of the United States, a part of his new certainly budget is to actually put in, I forgot how many billions of dollars, $30 or $40 billion, so that they can take all of our children and force them into public schools at 4 years of age so they can begin indoctrinating. Now, remember, now in kindergarten, at 5 years of age, they're in kindergarten and they begin indoctrinating them in homosexuality and how normal it is. I'm sure they'll start this at 4 years of age. This is Barack Hussein Obama. This is what he wants to do, is get the children away from their parents at 4 years of age. Get them away from the parents, because we wouldn't want the children indoctrinated with moral ideas or thoughts. Well, certainly our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Brad Dacus of the Pacific Justice Institute. Brad, is there anything else we should be talking about this evening?
Well, I think that those two pieces of pending legislation and then that newly enacted law, I think are very indicative of what the rest of the country are going to be facing if we don't bring it to a halt in California. You know, it's easy for people in other states, you know, whether it's Texas, Georgia, you know, Minnesota, I mean, other states where they think, you know what, you know, Kansas, this isn't going to happen in my state. Boy, those Californians are so weird. Reality is, if you look at, you know, statutes, these controversial statutes, they do inevitably get brought up and often passed in other states. It just takes a while. and that's why it's critical that we nip it here. Also, maybe people are thinking, hearing this, they're saying, well, that's not, those other two bills aren't going to become law. That, you know, the counseling bill, that's outrageous, but I'm sure that surely those other two bills won't become law. Hey, folks, SB 323, the one dealing with punishing youth organizations like Young Life, Youth for Christ, and Boy Scouts, and all those, that just passed 5-2 out of a vote of 5-2 out of the State Senate Finance Committee. It's moving full steam to the system. And so it is serious, and also I want to take note of, they say, well, how can that be happening in the legislature? Well, almost two-thirds of the legislators in the State Assembly and the State Senate in California, almost two-thirds are Democrats. And in California, what that means is there is the LGBT movement, radical LGBT movement. They have control of the Democrat Party in California, and that's why they're getting the vote. And we expect them to get the votes of nearly every, if not every single, probably every single Democrat when it comes to both of these bills. Unless there's a massive outcry, the Democrats are expected to full force, wholeheartedly endorse this very sick and cruel legislation that's an atrocity to the whole concept of our constitutional rights.
And basically, of course, this has happened because here in California, the media is tightly controlled. It's very difficult to get the truth out, and because I'm very, very concerned about the voting process. And the reason they brought in the electronic voting machines is every one of them can be rigged. Ladies and gentlemen, every one of them can be rigged. There were literally thousands of voting irregularities in November of last year, and you remember what happened? Absolutely nothing. So basically, right. We need to get people informed. We need to get them involved. And until we get back to paper ballots that are counted locally, and where we can watch and see what's really going on, why we're going to continue going down this road towards moral destruction of the very foundation of our society. And so you can say, well, you know, things will get better. No, they're not going to get better, not unless the people are really involved. And the people are not going to get involved unless they understand what's happening. And that there really are results. There really are terrible, terrible things are going to happen to this country if we don't get back on a sound moral footing. Well, basically, what do you see unfolding, Brad? People know what I feel. What do you see unfolding, and what can the average individual out there and the listening audience do about what's going on, other than, of course, contacting the Pacific Justice Institute and helping you?
Yeah, and that's very important, what you just mentioned. But there are other things, and what's real important also is prayer. People say, well, pray. You just say that sort of a customary kind of a thing. You just sort of, it sounds good. No. Prayer is powerful. We had a major homeschooling case 3 years ago. All three judges in the appellate court had already ruled against the right of homeschoolers to homeschool in California. And we asked them to petition them to rehear the case. They did. And they reversed themselves completely. And the reason was because people were praying. At the oral arguments, they were very hostile towards us, all three judges. The only reason we saw them changing their mind is people were praying. So I think that's very important, very, very crucial, and I think that's what God wants us to do.
I think you're absolutely right. People really don't understand, ladies and gentlemen, that prayer is a powerful thing. Let's go to Bill, who's calling from Tri-Cities, the great state of Washington. Hi, Bill. How are we doing?
Yes, Tim. I was wondering about with that allowing people to go into the wrong sex locker room. You don't think that once they actually passed that people would notice and be so upset with it that it would just be overturned just by the obscenity of it? It doesn't seem to me like that would stick with people, even if they got away with passing.
Bill, we live in a world gone mad. Israel recently released 1,027 convicted terrorists, 400 of which were murderers, many of them were multiple murders, to get back one Israeli soldier who'd gone to sleep on duty. 1,027 terrorists. Does that make any sense to you? It makes about as much sense as the boys going into the girls' locker room because they want to be a girl. We live in a world gone mad. When you understand that, everything begins to make sense.
Yeah, I just want to comment. I understand where he's coming from. You think just logically and reasonably that surely our society would look at that and say this is outrageous.
And I think the majority of the parents in California would agree with you on that. Unfortunately, as was mentioned, the media is not does not exactly cooperate in getting out this information, number one. Number two, there's a lot of people who aren't parents in California and have a totally different, they often have a different, very different worldview, and it's just a very twisted worldview, but nonetheless, it pervades. And so that's why even if it's being implemented, I'm really not so sure of it and that confident that we're going to see enough of an outcry when we see these hideous things taking place. I can easily see the coach, you know, telling the girls in the locker room, well, you just have to wait till he showers and leaves. If you don't want to shower, if you're modest, that's, you know, your problem. I can easily see that taking place, and it will take place likely.
Well, but then don't discount God either, because I believe that God is not going to allow this sort of thing to go on. I believe one of these days he's going to intervene. And I don't think I remember seeing that sign one time. It says, God is coming very soon. And boy, is he mad. Anyway, God bless, Bill. And I agree with everything you're saying. Thanks so much for calling. And certainly our guest has been Brad Dacus from the Pacific Justice Institute. Brad and his organization are on the front lines of this battle. We've been following him for over 20 years, supporting him. We think they're well worthwhile. You're considering supporting. We'll be back in just a moment here. Brad, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Oh, certainly. Well, I just want to, you ready?
Go right ahead, Brad.
Oh, sure. I, Dr. Stanley, I just want to just tell people that, yes, you know, this is a very serious challenge. It's not hype. This isn't a spoof show. This is reality. This is real legislation. And it has to be dealt with very seriously, because not because of any animosity anyone has towards anyone, quite the contrary. It's out of love and compassion for the many youth in the schools, in the locker rooms, the many youth involved in Boy Scouts who don't have a dad, who are looking for the healthy male role models and male bonding and masculinity affirmation. You know, there's so many young people that are going to be impacting, so it's out of love and compassion that we should all be compelled to act. And number one, number two, we need to recognize that we still have the ability under the Constitution to have a major impact in preserving our freedoms and our liberties. This is the easy way. The hard way is when we lose those liberties completely. That is even a worse scenario that can come from complacency. So I just exhort and encourage everyone to be updated, go to our website, sign up to get our press releases at pacificjustice.org, pacificjustice.org. Be part of our team. We need the resources to continue this work. So as we take on these great challenges, I greatly appreciate those who feel respond to it being led to support our work, to be a part of our team, be a team member of what we're doing, and also to pray for our, this kinds of cases and to pray for our work as you're updated on it. I think it's very important. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, folks, but of power, love, and discipline. And he wants us, therefore, to be involved, to be engaging, not with a spirit of fear, but driven by a love and compassion and an acknowledgement that that God is still working and still able to change hearts, minds, and even legislators.
Well, Brad, I appreciate everything you're doing. Certainly, I think it's so vitally important. And you've already got a lot of lawyers who are willing to work with you, don't you?
Yes, we at Pacific Justice are blessed with just under 1,000 volunteer affiliate attorneys nationwide, all across the country. So if there's a case that comes up, give us a call. Last year alone, we had thousands of requests for assistance, all without charge. We do not charge for our work. We help all kinds of religious institutions that are attacked, parents that are attacked. We go after public schools across the line. We defend private schools, homeschooling. We defend things like our national motto. And
I'm going to have to interrupt you. We're out of time. God bless you. Thanks for everything you're doing, Brad.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. God bless. Well, this is Dr. Stan. And, of course, Brad has over 1,000 or almost 1,000 lawyers across the country who work with him without a charge or pro bono. And so if you have a problem, why could they get in touch with the Pacific Justice Institute? And they may very well be able to help you or at least give you advice. But they take literally thousands of cases every year for people who have churches that are under persecution. Ladies and gentlemen, we're involved in a moral battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And basically because the battle we're in is primarily a spiritual battle. Nobody's going to tell you that. But the people who are on the other side coordinating this, and a lot of people on the other side don't understand this, but they hate Christianity. They hate God, and they're going to do everything they can to destroy him. And of course, if you're going to, there's no neutral position, you have to be on one side or the other, because if you're not with us, the Christian community, you think you're going to be neutral? No, for all intents and purposes, you're on the other side. And you need to be involved, and certainly there's a great deal the individual can do. Maybe you can't do radio. Maybe you can't even call into radio programs. Maybe you're scared to. But you can write treatises. You can tell other people about our programs, about Brad Dacus. You can tell other people about the speakers that we bring onto our program who are on the front lines of this battle, just like Brad is. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and you can do that certainly by calling us at 1-800-544-8927. You can subscribe to our newsletter. You can advertise with us. Certainly you can get the various products we offer, not only there's four tape sets and four CD sets and DVDs and videos and books. We also offer spices. Yes, we have spices to spice up your food. We have certainly health products, and the health products you need to be taking to maintain your health at this time. Because, ladies and gentlemen, they are systematically poisoning you. They're poisoning the air. They're poisoning the water. They're poisoning the food. They're poisoning our children. They know what they're doing. And you need to get the material that we offer on health and health issues. And you need these health products, whether it be magnesium or selenium or zinc or certainly vitamin D3 or vitamin C and certainly so many other things. You would like the list of the health products we carry. We carry the Miracle-Tooth soap products, the Berkey products, but they all help us to get the information out. The proceeds, I don't get paid. My wife doesn't get paid. She works 12 hours a day. But we're on the front lines of this battle, and God's called us here. And you can help us maintain our network of stations and maintain the small staff that we have. And so if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, our number is 1-800-544-8927. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to, this is, of course, you need to hear my talk, and these are available on DVD. The Agenda 21, the Covert Plan, you need to hear Michael Shaw. Agenda 21, the Wretching Transformation of America. Mine is Agenda 21, the Covert Plan. His is Agenda 21, the Wretching Transformation of America. You need to hear my talk on sustainable development, get the syllabus. You need to hear my talk on the World Revolution, because there you'll see my interview with Ambassador Earl T. Smith, the American ambassador to Cuba, a multi-billionaire, who will tell you that we installed Fidel Castro knowing he was a communist. And understand, ladies and gentlemen, we have put him in because you needed an enemy to rally the people behind the government, just exactly as we financed the North Vietnamese, pardon me, the North Koreans for many, many years, directly and indirectly. If we need an enemy, ladies and gentlemen, we need an enemy. And then, of course, we hope that you'll want to get certainly my four tape set on Vietnam, the untold story. We have three of four tape sets on Vietnam. You need to get John Loftus's book, America's Nazi Secret, to find out how we financed Adolf Hitler all during the Second World War. You need to get our four CD set, The War Against the Jews. That's The War Against the Jews. Yes, sir, we financed the Nazis all during the war. And we built the weapons for them they used to kill our boys. And, of course, that is covered in a letter if you'd like to see that. I found this among Colonel House's papers when Ambassador Dodd writes to Colonel House and says, why are all these American corporations over here building the weapons for the Nazis? They can't even make a profit. Please pray for Radio Liberty. America, land that I love.
from the mountain to the prairie to the ocean.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. Thank you for joining us, caring about your world. It is April 11th. It is Thursday, 2013. Thank you for joining us. Wanting to continue the search for the truth, the search for what is happening with the gold and silver, what is happening in North Korea, what is happening in Africa, what is happening everywhere, because it doesn't make any sense. I mean, you can, it's at the point of wanting to slam your head into a wall. Well, that is, if we didn't live in peace and say, okay, we will take the next right direction that we get and move in a positive fashion. Well, as much as we can. We do need to spend some time this morning looking at North Korea, South Korea, because it is a major, I don't know whether to call it issue, confrontation. I don't even know what term to use because there is so much subterfuge in the media from the sheeple press that we really don't know what's taking place. What we do know is there's a lot of back and forth between Kim Jong-un, allegedly. Now, we never hear them say this, you understand, haven't heard